Yo, Knicks fans, what's good? I'm Ja So Focused.
I'm French the Bro Host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
This is episode 69, giggity.
And this is a weekly podcast where we cover the biggest Knicks news of the week.
Make sure you are following us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter /X by searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, make sure to check us out at our website, KnicksTake.com.
And if you love what you hear, please subscribe to whatever platform you're watching and listening to us on. Hit the thumbs up button and hit the notification bell on YouTube. And most importantly, share this with any fellow Knicks fans who might enjoy the show.
And now the show.
The Knicks Take Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Bro, wait, boo, I can't lose. Nah, I can't lose.
Wait, didn't you say that the other... Anyway. all right, on this episode, we are going to cover the previous week's games. Knicks played against the Milwaukee Bucks on Christmas Day. They also played against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they also played against the Orlando Magic, which, as of this recording, was last night. Mm-hmm. We're also going to continue the preview that I did last week with the Knicks versus the Indiana Pacers, because we will not be... This recording comes before that game has actually happened, but by the time this episode comes out, it'll already have happened. So yep. We'll cover that review, that recap next week. Also, we're going to do a preview of the upcoming games. And the next topic of the week, I'm going to ask French, does the Knicks starting lineup need to change? And yeah, so let's get to this week's game, starting with that Christmas one.
I got a hot take for you for the topic of the week, too. But
okay.
Once
all
we
right.
get to that,
I'm ready.
You'll be shocked. But first game of the week on Christmas Day, I was actually at this game against the Milwaukee Bucks. And the energy of the crowd was really, they like the whole vibe in that arena was kind of just nervous because we haven't beaten the Bucks all year. Every time we faced off against Milwaukee, the first game, it was like a very close game. Jalen Brunson went off and the Bucks beat us at home.
Mm-hmm.
The in-season tournament, we had to face off against the Bucks and they smacked us. And we just faced them again just a few days earlier before Christmas, and we lost that game as well. So
yep.
The Knicks were pretty much leading this whole game. Jalen Brunson and RJ Barrett got us off to a great start. This was like the best start from RJ Barrett that we've seen since before his injury or his sickness. He got sick, right?
It was a headache.
Headache. It was migraine.
It was a migraine. Excedrin failed him.
He was out with a tummy ache in his head. But he's been off to like a slow start ever since he came back. And this is like the best he's looked, at least to start the game. Mm-hmm. And we pretty much was running it up on Milwaukee to start the game. Giannis scored like the first 5 points, and then from that point on, the Knicks were in control. The only other player on Milwaukee who was a legitimate threat was Damian Lillard. But when you're watching the game, it just seemed like he's scoring his points in bunches, but it's not really impacting the outcome of the game because the Knicks were pretty much still in control. Jalen Brunson was basically cooking them the whole night. The bench for Milwaukee is what I felt like was the biggest reason for...
Absolutely.
The games previously that they beat us, like Marjon mm-hmm. Beauchamp was hitting a bunch of threes in the previous games. Bobby Portis was hitting a bunch of threes, getting tough rebounds, battling it out with Julius Randle. But this game, the bench didn't really have the impact that they had in previous games. And this helped the Knicks really build the lead up and keep the game pretty much out of reach. Manuel Quickly, he had a great game off the bench, finished the night with 20 points, hit a couple threes, 4-for-4 from the free throw line. And Josh Hart also helped him out with 10 points. And yeah, I felt like this is what helped the Knicks pretty much the entire game just keep Milwaukee off our backs. Because even though Giannis had a good night, he had 32 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. Damian Lillard had 32 points. Like they made a little run to at the in the fourth quarter. But Jalen Brunson basically closed the night out strong. He only 6'2", gave him 38 points on like 60% efficiency, and they couldn't really slow him down at all the entire game. Julius Randle had a solid performance. He had 24 points and 9 rebounds, 6-for-6 from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. And the Knicks won this game 129-122. My final thoughts of this game was just that Jalen Brunson is extremely underrated. It's almost like we take for granted how efficient he is and how consistent he's been this year. He gets to his spots on a regular basis, sets up his teammates. Well, he could be better at setting up his teammates, to be honest, but that's probably the only critique that you could have for his game.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're really lucky to have such an elite point guard running this show. Julius Randle, he has his moments. But ever since that horrific start to the season, he's been like the most consistent Knicks player so far this season. Now that Mitchell Robinson has gone down, and he can be depended on a nightly basis to bully his way to 25 points, 10 rebounds against pretty much any team that we're facing. And he's not really jacking up a bunch of threes anymore. The only critique that I would have for Randle is he probably should look to pass a little bit more, because normally it's like 25, 10, and 5 assists that we're looking for, but he hasn't really consistently been getting that 5 assists. This game, he finished the game with only 2, mm-hmm. but he did have a steal. He was 6-for-6 from the free throw line. He had a few threes, but that's the only real critique that I have for Randle. If these two are able to just help their teammates get into the groove of the game a little bit more, I feel like the Knicks could be a really tough team to stop. But that's just my final thoughts about this game. What would you feel?
I just wanted to touch on the analysis that you made on the bench unit, which I think is absolutely was absolutely key in all of these games. The Knicks can't afford to play against Milwaukee. I think I said this last week as I covered that game that happened a few days before this one, a couple days before this one. The Knicks can't afford to have any aspect of their team underperform when they're playing against teams like Milwaukee. The bench unit especially. In one of the games that we got killed, I believe it was that last one where we played, not this last one that we played before this one, but the in-season tournament one where the Bucks went 146-122.
In Milwaukee.
You can't afford to have Emmanuel quickly go 1-for-7 for 7 points. You can't afford to have afford to have some of these other guys just not hold up the end, especially when you have like a Bobby Portis knocking down threes. You got Campaign hitting shots, getting 12 points. Like, against these kinds of teams, everybody has to hit their baseline. And actually, for the most part, they have to go a little bit above their baseline. They have to have good games. And this game, it was more so their bench unit finally playing underwhelmingly that made this a much easier game for the Knicks than anything else. When we play this we play this team 5 times this season, when we play this team again, I don't know if we can hope for that kind of thing. We need to really play well in order to get another win against the Bucks, which is going to be a tall task, I think. Yeah. And that's all I really got for this Bucks game.
For sure.
So next game, Wednesday, December 27th, the Knicks flew over to Oklahoma City to face the Thunder, and after the Knicks took, they scored the opening points, which I believe were free throws. One was from RJ Barrett. He missed another one. I think the other was Julius Randle, or maybe he scored and they went 3-0. It was 2-0. And Oklahoma City knocked down a 3, and they never gave up the lead for the rest of the game. They slowly built that lead after they took the lead, and it just kind of went from, okay, this is a decent game, to, wow, the Knicks are playing pretty sloppily. Like, they're just turning the ball over. They're not really executing the way that they normally do. They finished the game with 18 turnovers to Oklahoma City's 4. That's a 14 That's a swing of 14 right there in terms of possessions.
Most of them from the starting five, too.
Yeah, well, I was just about to get to that. RJ followed up his good Milwaukee game where he started off the game with him and Jalen Brunson scoring damn near all of the Knicks' points with a pretty bad one in Oklahoma City. He went 1-for-7 from three, and he had five turnovers. Jalen Brunson also had five turnovers. That right there is 10 of the Knicks' 18 turnovers just with those two guys. Knicks were losing from basically start to finish. And yeah, the big news, or not news, but the big conversation came as a result of that final stretch of the game where the Knicks were trying to make a comeback. And Emmanuel Quickley was kind of, you know, going off. And Tom Thibodeau, head coach, pulls Emmanuel Quickley and puts in R.J. Barrett for a lineup of Jalen Brunson, R.J. Barrett, Josh Hart, Julius Randle, Isaiah Hartenstein. And most of us already don't like these lineups that have R.J. Barrett and Josh Hart, where R.J. is the two and Josh Hart is the three, or vice versa, whichever way you want to flip it. Most of us do not like that, those kinds of lineups. If we want to see them together on the court, you'd rather have one of those guys play the four. Well, sure enough, RJ, who was already having a bad game, came in for Emmanuel Quickley, who was having a good game, and immediately just the momentum just switched in favor of the Thunder. Now, I want to be clear. Like, even though this was tied at 83-83 in the third quarter with 3 minutes and 41 seconds remaining, OKC went up by 10 after that with RJ on the court. And the Knicks made a push with Quickley in on the court. But I think at that point, you could already say the Knicks are probably not going to win this game. When they had that tie, they had the opportunity to take the lead. They did not. Oklahoma City was in charge this entire game. Yes, the Knicks do have that capability to make a push. We've seen them come back from down 20. We've seen them come back down in the fourth quarter and take a lead and take and get the win. We've seen them do these things, but you can't expect that every single time. And this did not seem like a game where the Knicks were going to, you don't know what was going to happen, really. Like, could they have done it with Quickley? Maybe. But I'm going to say that they probably were going to lose this game anyway. Yeah, you still cannot.
It's talented like OKC, because Miami is not as talented as OKC.
You still cannot make decisions like these if you're the head coach. You cannot. You can't take out the guy who's playing really well and might be the best player for your, you know, the one who's playing the best on your team at that point. You can't take him out for somebody who is not playing well, first of all. And you're saying that you brought him out because of length or whatever. He's having a bad game. You gotta read the game. You gotta look at it and say, okay, we're getting killed or whatever, but this is our best opportunity to win. This guy who hasn't played well all game. Yes, sometimes he has stretches where he has a bad stretch in the first half and he comes back in the second half or in the fourth quarter and he plays well. You don't sacrifice the other good play that you're getting for that possibility. So that's my little rant on my head coach, Tom Thibodeau. Knicks lose 129-110. I want to give credit to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Chet Holmgren, and Jalen Williams, a.k.a. J-Dub. Those guys are really, really good. Yeah. SGA and J-Dub both dropped 36, which goes to show just how well the Knicks were defending. Not that you can really do anything with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the way that J-Dub was playing. You know, it is what it is, but Chet also had a smooth 22, 5 rebounds, 4 blocks. I heard in somebody's pregame for this game, they said, I'm getting a lot of KD vibes. And watching the game, I was like, I can see what they're talking about. The way his game goes when he's dribbling from the perimeter or whatever. I felt like the Knicks had some opportunities to make his life a little bit more difficult when he was putting the ball on the floor, but they didn't do that. And they were reacting a lot to his moves instead of forcing him to make tougher shots for most of the game. And, you know, that's why he had such a good game, I feel like. Yeah, like I said earlier, Knicks were probably going to lose that game anyway, but Tibbs made was probably what made what was probably already going to be a loss something much bigger because of all of the discourse now about why he made these decisions, why you pulled out Emmanuel Quickley, who's already averaging less minutes this season than last season, to put in a guy who started the season incredibly. Let's give him that kind of credit, RJ Barrett. He started off the season with 7 great games. He had a good FIBA tournament. He played very well in the playoffs, but since he's been back from the headaches, from the migraines, since he's come back from that, he's been much of the same player that he was in the regular season last year when he was super inconsistent and he wasn't our best player and he was getting minutes cut from him, even though he was starting. He seemed much like that player. So yeah, you just can't do that. Like, we've had more than 7 games of evidence to see that he is not that same player that he was to start the season. And until he shows that he can get back to that, don't do stuff like this.
Yeah, completely agree. My thoughts from this game is not going to be too much different from my thoughts for the very next game. So I'm going to just go straight over to the next game and then we could talk.
Okay.
About what I've been thinking from this last week, basically.
Is this going to feed right into your hot take or no?
For sure. Absolutely. So, Friday, December 29th, which is a night before the day of this recording, and the Knicks went down to Orlando after a tough loss to OKC, and they pretty much got off to a slow start. They couldn't really get any offense going. Julius Randle was leading the way to start the game. He missed a few three-pointers to start off, but then he just started playing bully ball, getting to the paint, and he carried the Knicks offense throughout the entire first half, basically the whole game. But before we get to the second half, the Knicks led after the first quarter, even though Jalen Brunson and no other Knicks could really get it going. But the second quarter, they couldn't really get any type of consistent offense going. They had more turnovers than field goals in that second quarter. Came back from halftime, got a bad start to the third quarter, couldn't really get the calls that they were looking for from the referees. It was a pretty physical game. Orlando Magic has a lot of size, so they were giving the Knicks some problems, and the Knicks were they were pretty much just trying to bully their way to the paint and force some calls that they just weren't getting. And it was only working out for Julius Randle because he's just overpowering every player on the Magic. And he didn't get his three-point shot to go at all, but he still found a way to finish the night with 38 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. Unfortunately, this wasn't enough to win the game on the road. The Magic had a lot of good performances from their young players. Franz Wagner had 32 points. Paolo had 29 points, 10 rebounds. And it was just too much for the Knicks. And the Knicks lose this game 117 to 108. Jalen Brunson had a pretty underwhelming night. He finished with 20 points, but 12 of his points came from the free throw line. He had 8 assists and 7 rebounds, but he was 4 for 15 from the field. He didn't knock down a single three-pointer. He was 0 for 4. Randle was also 0 for 4. RJ was 1 for 5, finished with 19 points. 7 for 17 from the field. And RJ was the only starter to hit a three-pointer this game. All the other three-pointers came from the bench. Josh Hart hit one. Emmanuel Quickley had 3. Quentin Grimes hit 1. But that's just how it went for the whole night. Like, if you go 6 for 30 from the three-point line, and today's NBA, it's very unlikely that you're going to win the game. 20% from 3 is not what you're looking for from the team. It's normally the free throw issues that cause us a lot of losses, but to this game, they went 26 for 29 from the free throw line, and they probably should have gone a lot more. Seeing Orlando went to the free throw line 40 times, and it's not a coincidence that they ended up winning the game. But my major takeaways from this game was just that we need a consistent third option who's able to take the load off of Brunson and Randle on nights where they might not have it going. Mm-hmm. Randle can't consistently just power through and get 38 points and it results in a loss. It seems like anytime Jalen Brunson doesn't have his game going, it's going to be a tough night for the Knicks to win. And that's exactly what happened in this game. Even though Emmanuel quickly had some good minutes off the bench, it wasn't enough for the Knicks to win this game. And after the game, Tibbs was visibly frustrated. He walked out of the post-game interview after complaining that Jalen Brunson is being fouled constantly. He's not getting any calls for it. He feels like they beat him up anytime he goes to the paint, and he goes to the paint consistently, play after play, and he's just not getting the calls. And I think Tibbs is definitely going to be fined for these comments against the referees.
Well, it's automatic.
But, I mean, it's warranted. Everything he said was accurate. Jalen Brunson's getting fouled. He's playing with a black eye currently because of how much he's getting beat up out there. And it's just crazy to see how all these other stars can get all these superstar calls, but a 6'2 point guard who's normally so efficient gets beat up and he's not getting any calls. So I agree with Tibbs and his post-game rant. What were your thoughts about this game?
I'm going to touch on what you just spoke on, and then I'm going to have some disagreements with you.
Okay.
Jalen Brunson went to the line 12 times last night, and I agree with both you and Tom Thibodeau. There were a lot of calls that weren't getting called and haven't been getting called all season when it comes to Jalen Brunson. I think that they're trying to get away from the James Harden getting 20 free throw attempts in a game, 25 free throw attempts in a game, and that's how you bolster up your points per game. Like, they're trying to get away from that aspect of the game because it's boring, because nobody wants to watch it. They want more 3-point attempts and stuff like that. The problem is that Jalen Brunson is getting fouled on those 3-point attempts as well. There was a very good stretch of games where he was getting fined for flopping, and he shouldn't have gotten fined for flopping because he either getting fined for flopping or he was getting a call on the court for flopping where they were landing underneath him, which is a foul.
And these are the same referees who bail out Joel Embiid. These aren't Joel Embiid fouls. And Joel Embiid's a center, 7 foot, probably one of the strongest guys in the NBA. And they giving him these calls, but 6 foot one little Jalen Brunson, who's attacking all the trees in the paint,
He's not getting officiated correctly, right? We can agree with that. With that said, when you get in 12 foul shots in a game, and to be fair, Paolo Banchero also got 12 foul shots, which kind of goes to the point that I'm about to say next. The refereeing in this game was absolutely horrendous when it came to on both ends of the court officiating the same game. A foul on one end of the court for the Orlando Magic was not a foul on the other end of the court for the Knicks. The Knicks had to be getting absolutely mauled to get a foul call, which goes to show that he earned those 12 free throws, and he probably earned a few more. But even with that, the second quarter where the Knicks had more turnovers than field goals made, right? That was a very big part of why they lost this game. And you brought up the 3-point. You probably can't win a game when you have 20% from field from the three. The Orlando Magic shot 21% from three in the same game.
So you 11 more free throws though.
But even still,
and we lost by 11 points.
Yes, we did. We did. The 3-point makes were not what caused them to lose this game. There was a clear lack of determination to win this game, to start the game. That was one. That second quarter where they made, what, 4 field goals in the whole quarter. They didn't miss their first 10, 12 shots or whatever before they finally hit a shot. Like, those are stretches you can't have. You can't have those stretches. And in the second half, where they started off the second half kind of poorly and they came back into the game, you might have believed more so that they could have won this game if, I don't want to put it on him because Julius Randle had an outstanding game offensively. It's just a constant thing where it's like, man, if you just do like one or two more things, man, we'll win more games. You'll get MVP consideration or whatever. And it's like, you can't be bothered. And some of the defensive efforts of Julius Randle, like, and even some of his decision-making on offense, I felt like when they were making that push, the push stopped because of certain things Julius Randle did. It's not his fault we lost this game. But I felt like if you had that chance in the fourth quarter to really make this a game and to actually take the lead, you have to be equally focused as everybody else on the court. And I did not get that sense from Julius Randle. Once again, he had an outstanding game. The Knicks were only in this game partially because of him, because he had an outstanding offensive game on every quarter except for the second one. But when your best player sometimes, yes, I understand you need to sacrifice your defensive portion of the game in order to maximize the offensive effort. When the rest of your team is cutting into the lead and they're scoring and they're doing what you need to do, you don't need to worry about all the driving into the paint and all that stuff. You need to worry more about on the other aspects of the games at certain times. You save that driving to the paint for when they absolutely need it, which he did. But he also had some turnovers. He also, like, there was a fast break where Paolo Banchero was, at first he was 3 feet in front of him, and then he was 4 feet in front of him, then he was 10 feet in front of him, and it was like, bro, you running the exact same speed the entire way as if this is not a fast break. And Paolo Banchero is widening the gap on you. So those are the kind of things where it's like, there are multiple different reasons why the Knicks lost this game. I didn't think that I didn't think the 3-point percentages was really the issue, because there was no real difference between them and the Magic. The turnovers, not turnovers really, but the possession battle with the rebounds. That's what I meant to say. They lost the rebound battle. The free throw possession battle, the free throw rate battle, they lost all of that. And the effort just wasn't there the way that they needed. They didn't come into this game like they needed to absolutely win this game. They came into this game the same way that they do every game, which is, you know, we want to win this game, but they needed a little bit more effort, to me.
I agree with some points you made and I disagree with others. With the Julius Randle take that you just said, I agree with you from the aspect that he played his first minutes as a center in this game to close this game out. And
They weren't his first minutes, but this was the first like real significant minutes for him, yes.
And if you the center, you're supposed to be the rim protector. And there was like a play where he helped out on Paolo and then left the center wide open for us a dunk. And there was a pivotal moment in the game. And
yep.
He also got a key turnover in a pivotal moment of this game, and it's just like you can't do that.
I'm gonna
at these times in the game.
Just quickly, that rotation that you're talking about. I remember that rotation where he tried to help, and I said, "Okay, it's good that you came to help." At a certain point, you saw I forgot who he was helping.
RJ.
It was RJ. At a certain point, RJ don't need help no more. You need to get back at least in between RJ's man and your man so they don't get the easy points. And he just stood there. Mm-hmm. And it was like, the initial thought was good. And this is his problem defensively. Your initial thought is good. After that initial thought, brain fart. And you make defense harder for the rest of the team. Go ahead.
He overhelped. He overhelped. If you're going to help where you can get back in time. And it was like he had no intention to get back.
Right. And that's a problem.
You need to get back if you're the center. You're the last line of defense at this point in the game. So I agree with that point. The point that I disagree with is I don't think we should be neck and neck with the Orlando Magic in three-point shooting, because we have shooters on this team. We have Quentin Grimes, who should be taking more than 3 3-pointers a game. We have DiVincenzo, who should be hitting at least one of his 5 3-point attempts. Jalen Brunson shouldn't be going 0-4. Randle shouldn't be going 0-4.
Whether we should or not, sometimes you have rough stretches from three, and if it's even, that's a battle that you can, you should still be able to win if you're a good team. And the Knicks didn't. Right. So I'm gonna push forward because we said that this is gonna tie into your response to the topic of the week, which is, does the New York Knicks, or do the New York Knicks need to switch their starting lineup again? They've already switched their starting lineup first to take Quentin Grimes off of the starting lineup and put him into the bench. And then one game after that, we lost Mitch for, I don't know, potentially the season, maybe another month. Who knows? We won't know until February, really. The Knicks starting lineup is currently hemorrhaging points defensively, even though their offense is still very good. The Knicks have lost three of the last four, five of their last 10. And those last 10 have been is the entire stretch where Mitch Robinson has not played. And they are also 5 of 11 since Quentin Grimes was put on the bench. There have been calls to pull RJ and Dante DiVincenzo off of the starting lineup in favor of Emmanuel Quickley and Josh Hart, who Emmanuel Quickley, Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, and whatever five, that lineup is really playing well. With the minutes that they've played, the possessions that they've played. So I can't really be mad at that switch. But before I talk too long, French, what do you think about this?
I'm a New Yorker, right?
Maybe.
I go to work, take the train home. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just want to take a little detour, you know, walk a few extra blocks, check the little bus time app and take the express bus home just so you can ride home in luxury, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I do that earlier this week. I leave work, walk to Fifth Avenue, Madison Avenue, try to take the express bus because the bus app is telling me, you know, the bus is going to come at 5:30. So I'm there, 5:25, waiting, 5:30 come, waiting, bus never comes. 6 o'clock, I'm still out there freezing. I'm like, yo, I would have been home by now if I just took the regular subway, but I wanted to ride home in luxury, mm-hmm. not even luxury, just in comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're probably wondering why I'm telling you all this, but this feeling of waiting and the bus never coming is kind of like how I feel about RJ Barrett.
I knew that's where you're going.
And like, bro, this is year 5 for RJ, is it not? Or is it year 4?
It is.
He got year drafted 5. 2019.
Mm-hmm.
You know I'm a big RJ Barrett supporter.
As am I.
We never want to hear RJ Barrett's name in trade rumors. We never want to hear him being disrespected, especially after he started the year the way that he did.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just like, when is this bus going to arrive?
Mm-hmm.
This bus is supposed to take us all the way home. It's supposed to take us all the way home in comfort. You the third option on this team.
Mm-hmm.
We relying on you to be the help that we need in this starting five lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But we can never depend on you. The app is always wrong. The bus ain't coming at 5:30.
What time is the bus coming? Who knows?
It ain't come. I might as well just take a cab at this point.
Right.
So like, RJ Barrett, I don't know, man. Like, I support you. I see the potential, but after a while, the potential has to realize and be the norm for you. Like, you can't just show one thing to start the year off, come back from a headache, mm-hmm. and then go back to how you've been playing for years on, and you're not showing any progress. You're just going back to not looking at teammates. You going in tunnel zone trying to just score, and that's not what we need. And right. I'm getting to a point where it's like, if we have to make a trade and RJ Barrett's name is going to be the deciding factor, I can't be like, oh no, we need to hold on to RJ Barrett with everything that we can, because he's going to be the X factor, because he's not showing that he can be relied on to be that X factor. So I feel like he's the weak link of our starting lineup even without Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who we can start on this team currently, but there has to be some type of change if we want to meet the expectations that we have for this team. What are your thoughts?
Yo, breaking news, Knicks fans. First of all, let me set the scene. I'm driving after we just finished recording, talking about RJ Barrett, talking about Emmanuel Quickly, talking about potential trades, and I'm talking to my brother, and all of a sudden he said, oh, snap, Knicks just traded for OG Anunoby. You lying. Nah, we just traded RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly. Now I know you're lying. Now, I probably shouldn't say this on camera, but I'm driving and I'm at a red light and looking at my phone, trying to find it. And Adrian Wojnarowski, Woj, just dropped a Woj bomb. Woj of ESPN. The Toronto Raptors are finalizing a trade to send OG Anunoby to the New York Knicks for a package, including RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickly, and draft considerations, sources tell ESPN. He then sends another tweet. Precious Achiuwa is also part of the deal to the Knicks, sources tell ESPN. Now, let me just say this. OG Anunoby, I don't know if we've said this on a previous podcast, but he is exactly the player, the type of player that the Knicks need. This doesn't put them into title contention yet, I don't believe. We still need to see this work. I think that this definitely makes them a tier better than the Orlando Magics and the Indiana Pacers with Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. Both of those players, their biggest weakness is defense. Jalen Brunson at least tries. Julius Randle, effort is wanting. But you don't have to worry about that with this guy, OG Anunoby, one of the best defensive players in the league. He has been all-defense candidate over the past few years. He can regard positions 1 through 5, depending on the matchup. He is a guy that you can put out there in your starting lineup, and you don't have to worry about them. He can knock down the three. He played very well against us when we played the Toronto Raptors earlier this year, knocking down threes and doing everything that we needed RJ Barrett to do. And it says finalizing the deal. So this trade technically hasn't gone through yet. But if Woj is reporting it, you can pretty much count that this trade is happening. This is something that I'm still kind of in shock by. We'll talk more about it next week. I think that this is a good trade for the Knicks. It's sad to see Emmanuel Quickly go. It's sad to see RJ Barrett go, although he'll be going home to Canada, his hometown. But I actually did want to see his actualized version on this version of the Knicks. And same thing for Emmanuel Quickly. Emmanuel Quickly built up his value as a Knick. So it's sad to see those two guys go, but when you have a player like OG Anunoby who you can use on any team in the NBA, every team in the NBA is looking for this guy and trying to trade for this guy, and the Knicks got him. Kudos to the front office, the Knicks front office. Kudos to Leon Rose. And that's all I got to say. We'll talk more about it next week on the Knicks Take podcast once I've got my nerves are not as shot. Reporting this news to you on OG Anunoby. I think that anything that we do, whether we keep him there, whether we replace him, and Dante DiVincenzo, which I guess are the only options really, any of those options, I think that there are arguments for and against all of those. I'll say a couple things that I've said outside of this podcast. One of them being RJ Barrett is still not a consistent player. And that's okay, because you know that you can replace him with other members of this team. This team, outside of Julius Randle, Jalen Brunson, Mitchell Robinson, and when he's healthy, the talent is comparable, right? So it doesn't necessarily matter for him to start to come off the bench, because we saw it last year. If he's not having it, he won't close. He won't play 30 minutes. He'll play 25, 24. And we can still do that. The problem that I'm seeing right now is that we're not doing it. Maybe it's because of that first 7-game stretch and Tibbs is like, nah, he can get back to that. I just need to keep playing. No. Until he does it over a full season, you have to just he's having a good game, play him more. He's having a bad game, play him less. If he starts off the second half and he's on a heater, keep riding that until you see that's going away, right? Which in this Orlando Magic game, he started off terribly. And the second half, he was one of our best players in the second half. That's good. Do that. Don't do what you did in Oklahoma City Thunder where you felt the need to play him more because of his length or whatever. That's not the game. Sometimes the game will tell you what to do. I'm stealing this from other places. Just let do what the game is telling you to do, right? RJ Barrett is not, Jalen Brunson is not Julius Randle. I used to feel like what you were saying about RJ, right? Waiting for the bus to come. And that stopped once I saw Jalen Brunson go from, oh, that's my starting point guard to, man, this guy is going to be an all-star. And you know what? This guy's shot-making ability is so good that he could probably win us a series by himself if the talent is equal, right? Which is one of the top 20, 25, 30, 40, however many players can do that, right? That is a guy that you absolutely need on the team. So once you have Jalen Brunson, I'm not really worried about RJ Barrett anymore, right? If RJ Barrett gets traded or whatever, I was anti-trade RJ until midway to three quarters of the season last year. And then I was like, you know what? If RJ gets us something good, put him next to Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson. Hope if it's a good fit, I'm with it. Go ahead. What's your question, sir?
It's deeper than that for me. I thought Julius Randle was the piece that needed to go.
Yeah, me too.
And
me too.
It's completely flipped for me. I feel like Randle could be a Hall of Famer.
Well,
Randle could be the second, third option, and RJ needs to be the piece that gets us to this trade that gets us the player that's going to get us to a championship, because RJ can't be depended on. He had that one good series against the Cavaliers last year, and that bought him some time, but now that time is like... It's up.
They're like inverse, right? Because Julius Randle is the guy who hasn't performed in the playoffs, but he's now had two absolutely great seasons, all-star seasons in the regular season portion of the year.
All-NBA.
All-NBA. Whereas RJ has been one of the worst regular season guys. Every once in a while, he'll show his worth in a game, hit a game winner, have an amazing game, show that promise that got him drafted third. But for the season, it's like, nah, right? And then in the playoffs last year, and in FIBA and in FIBA in the first seven games, it's like, right after that playoffs, it was like, oh, yeah, that guy can definitely be our number two. Julius Randle is expendable. So I always keep that in the back of my mind. Like, RJ did that in the playoffs. He did that in FIBA. He did that in the first seven games. And this is a guy who's, throughout his entire career, he might have a bad first half. He'll come back in the second half and he'll take over. And that's not to say, like, he's... Julius Randle, to me, he could still go, right? But he is absolutely an all-star, and he should not go. Like, if we're keeping it a buck, it should be RJ. But at the same time, neither one of these guys is Jalen Brunson. So... that's why for me, it's kind of like, listen, it doesn't really matter for me with RJ. I don't think they should trade him in season. If they're going to trade him, they should do it in the off season. If he starts, I think that you have some wiggle room there. If you start Emmanuel quickly, you have no wiggle room. None. And that's why I'm kind of like, anything that they do, you can make an argument for, you can make an argument against. It is what it is. You tied your boat to this. You tied your ship to this team at the beginning of the season. You gave yourself no real way out. Mitchell Robinson went down. Quentin Grimes is not the player that we expected it or hoped him that he would be. And now we're kind of stuck where we are. You could blame the front office. You could blame expectations. But kind of it is what it is, and we kind of just have to ride it out and see and trust in our coach and see what happens at a certain point. For me, it's really more so about Quentin Grimes. Quentin Grimes should have played well enough and been confident enough in his own game and stayed in that starting lineup, because that was really the beginning of this turmoil that we're currently having now, because he wasn't putting up shots. He wasn't moving around. And even now, as he's in the bench unit, he had a few good games since he's been on the bench, but he still has way too many games where he only takes one shot, two shots. He's not playing well. He's getting, he'll get cooked like on a drive here and there when you're playing less minutes. So you should have the most energy out of everybody. Like, you shouldn't be, I understand that that he's been guarding the best player on the other team sometimes, or the best perimeter player on the other team. I've just been so disappointed with Quentin Grimes, even more so than I have been with RJ Barrett. And if we had the Quentin Grimes that we were expecting, we're not having these conversations. So I don't know. I feel like I just said a lot of nothing. But
now you're talking.
But you know,
Quentin Grimes, he needs to step it up too.
Yeah, if Quentin Grimes has a good season, we're not talking about RJ Barrett needing to come, like, whether he needs to be benched or not. Like, RJ Barrett, we did the same thing last season, and guess what? We ended up getting to the second round with RJ Barrett playing the way that he did. We got fifth seed. We did better than anybody hoped or thought that we were going to do when we got Jalen Brunson. Like, you kind of just have to accept RJ for what he is and hope that you can get something good out of it when it's all said and done. It doesn't quickly shouldn't be getting less minutes than he did last year. Josh Hart is getting a lot of minutes.
And he need to do more with the minutes too. He's been disappointing me too.
Josh Hart, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the Knicks play well when Josh Hart is on the court, but I need more from Josh Hart as well. And like, it's all of these things. Like, Josh Hart doesn't need to be playing more minutes than Emmanuel Quickley, to me. They should be playing more minutes together, but Josh Hart shouldn't be blowing Emmanuel Quickley minutes out of the water. And I think he's close to 30 and Quickley is close to 24. That is not, I understand that Josh Hart's minutes come at the three, like a lot of times, and some at the four, and Quickley's is more one and two, but you got to find a way to even those things out. You have to. So let's move on to the Indiana Pacers game that is going to be later today. I already said a lot about the Indiana Pacers game last week. I'm just going to update. I think Brunson's going to go off after having bad games against the Magic and the Thunder. I said last week the Knicks was going to win it, so I'm not really changing that. And I think that the energy expended last night and that push at the end where they tried to tie the game and win the game is not going to help against a team who runs fast and all of this stuff and one of the highest paced teams and the best offense in the league and all that stuff. I don't think that's going to help today. It's the second half of a back-to-back, both of them on the road. It's going to be a tough game. Like, it really is. But I think the Knicks are still going to win, not just because I said that last week. I don't think the Pacers have anybody who can guard Julius Randle. I don't think the Pacers have anybody who can guard Jalen Brunson. And they are already a bad defensive team to begin with. I think that the Knicks should clean up the bad from last night and make up for it against Indiana. What say you, French?
Seemed like they were trying to, not consolidate, but just like save their energy last night because they knew they had to face off against Indiana today. Obi Toppin is no longer a starter for Indiana. I was going to say that he would be the exploited player when we did match up against them, but now that he's going to be playing, what, like 20 minutes off the bench, I think Tibbs is definitely going to exploit him the minutes that he is out there, because you know that he's one of the worst defenders on, if not the worst defender on Indiana. And Aaron Nesmith is probably going to get the Jalen Brunson assignment. Haliburton has been having like an all-NBA season. He's coming off a 20-20 game. He had 20 assists, 21 points, and they blew out Chicago the last game that they played. Mm-hmm. Buddy Hield is a sniper. Haliburton's a sniper. Nesmith is a sniper. We can't come out this game and have another effort like we just had against the Orlando Magic, where we're not hitting any three-pointers, going like 6-for-30 from three.
Absolutely not.
And I'm hoping that because Tibbs called out Jalen Brunson not getting these calls, that he's going to get to the free throw line a lot more. I do think that we can beat Indiana, even though we're going to be out on the road, but still, this is a game that we need to win. We haven't lost three games all year in a row. I don't see Indiana being the team to do that to us, so I definitely think that the Knicks are going to win this game, and it should come on the back of a big Jalen Brunson game.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
All right.
Next game, the Knicks are going to be back home. I'm going to be in this game, in the building for this game on New Year's Day. The Knicks are going to play against the Minnesota Timberwolves. We lost to them the last game we played by, what, 17 points? It was like 117 to 100.
It was bad.
It was a bad loss. Let me see. Are they still the number one team in the West right now? Because their record is 23-7.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm going to venture a guess and say yes.
Yeah, that sounds like
23-7. Yeah, I would say that's probably the best team in the West right now.
It sounds like it, right?
Yeah, it definitely does.
So I think the Knicks are not going to lose another game. Or we haven't been swept by any team so far this year. And this is the last game that we're going to be playing against the Timberwolves. So I definitely think we're going to be home. This is New Year's Day, early game, 3 p.m. Cat is listed as questionable to play against the Lakers on Saturday, so there's a chance he might miss that game and then miss this game as well.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, even if Cat is playing, I think Jericho Sims should be back around this time, and we should have a little more big bodies to throw around. Pause.
Jericho Sims, okay.
He's a decent defender. I ain't saying that he's going to be dropping 20 points and 20 rebounds, but he can get some rebounds, and what, you know, we need some help.
What if Jericho Sims starts? What is your thoughts?
If he starts, we going to win this game. It's New Year's Day. He had a few weeks to rest his little ankle. He twisted his ankle against the Lakers.
Boy, I envy you.
Why?
Let me. All right. So I'm going to say the same thing I said about the Bucks last week,
okay,
which is, unless the Knicks play great across the board and Minnesota doesn't play well, the Knicks are not in their league. Do you still think that Minnesota is not a title contender?
No. Okay. They're not a title contender until they get some playoff experience, which only Rudy Gobert has on their team. Nobody right. else on that team, except for Mike Conley, too. Mike Conley's also experienced. Mm-hmm. He's probably, like, one of the biggest reasons why they're the number one team in the West outside of, obviously, Anthony Edwards and Karl Towns, but he rarely turns the ball over. He's a consistent presence as a point guard, and he makes the game easier for all of them. And Rudy Gobert is leading the defense, so now it's just on Anthony Edwards to just be a scorer and Karl Towns to be a scorer. That's why their formula is working, but I don't see them winning a championship because I don't see them being better than the Denver Nuggets. I don't see them being better than the Clippers. I don't see them being better than a few teams in the West. And even Golden State could knock them out. So
Golden State, who's currently not in the playoff or play-in picture.
I don't ever count Steph Curry out. As long as Steph Curry's healthy, he's there. You got Klay Thompson, listen, who could go off on a heater on any given moment. They still have Andrew Wiggins, he's a champion now. Like, they can take any team in the NBA.
I understand why you're saying what you're saying. You're not crazy, right? You're not crazy. But
in this aspect.
No, you're not crazy in this aspect. There are other things to consider. There's only one team who has a better record than the Minnesota Timberwolves
Boston Celtics.
It is the Boston Celtics. You said the Knicks have not been swept by anybody this season. What you should have said was the Knicks have not been swept by anybody in this season yet, because they are still winless against the Boston Celtics.
We're going to get that win.
Once again, I truly do envy you because that fandom boy. Woo. Listen,
it's not just fandom. The Knicks beat Milwaukee Bucks, and
are the Knicks title contenders?
No chance. No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Do you think the Knicks will make it to the Eastern Conference Finals?
It's definitely possible.
Okay.
If we make a trade.
So, As currently constructed.
As currently constructed with no Mitch, not a chance in hell.
Okay. I think we need to be very clear when we say some of the stuff that we're saying, because can I see Minnesota Timberwolves making the Western Conference Finals? Absolutely. They have one of the best defenses in the league. They have two stars in Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns. They have a Defensive Player of the Year candidate and probably will win in Rudy Gobert. And the way that they're playing right now, why can't they do that in the playoffs? And if they do that in the playoffs, they will make the Western Conference Finals. Will they beat the Denver Nuggets if they beat them there? I don't know. They played the Denver Nuggets pretty tough last year in the opening round. Maybe they won't, because I still think Nikola Jokic is the best player on the planet. If he's not the best, he's definitely top three. But they are absolutely, we're 30 games into the season. They're absolutely a title contender to me. It's them. I try not to include my title contenders for the Western Conference, because this is a Knicks podcast and we only seen some of these Western Conference teams once, twice in this season. So until comes playoff time, unless we're talking about the finals, we don't got to really think about the Western Conference. But if I was to list my Western Conference title contenders, they're right up there with all of these teams that you mentioned, you know, and they might even be a little bit higher because some of these teams are older, they're injury prone, et cetera, et cetera. Minnesota is young, like they're young guys. Their best players are younger. You don't got to worry about them. You might have to worry about Karl-Anthony Towns when it comes to playoffs, but Anthony Edwards, man, listen, I'm not going to go too hard on it.
You know why I disagree with you in that last aspect that you just said?
Yeah.
If Mike Conley goes down, they're not staying the number one seed. They're not. They're going to feel his loss. They're going to feel if Rudy Gobert goes down. And that's
100%.
Very possible. They're not young. They're not spring chickens.
100%. But the reason why I said what I said was, even when the season started, after Boston made their moves, after Milwaukee made their moves, automatically it was like, yeah, Knicks don't really have a chance to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, maybe they can if things line up right in the seeding, but yeah, I don't think that they're going to make it to the finals. Definitely not make it to the finals. And now the Mitch is going down. Yeah, it's over and done with, right? So, you know, I guess it's kind of the same thing with the Minnesota Timberwolves, but at least if they're fully healthy, you can see them make it to the, I shouldn't say you, I can see them make it to the finals. And I never could say that about the New York Knicks, which is why I said they're title contenders, because right now they're healthy enough to do that. Let's not make this take too long, because we're probably already pushing an hour right now. Next game, Knicks versus Bulls, Wednesday, January 3rd, 2023 at 8:30 p.m. in the Garden. That's a weird time because we're at home in the Garden, 8:30. Yeah. Usually 7:30, 7 o'clock. You know, 8:30 is really late for middle of the week. But
must be a Rangers game or something.
I'll be there. F it. I'm going to be there in the game. Bulls have had a great stretch over the past couple weeks when Zach LaVine went out. It's like Zach LaVine went out and they finally like, oh, yeah, now we everything that was holding us back, and now we got that off our chest. Now we can play well. They've won 5 of their last 7 before Saturday, today as we are recording, and they're about to play the 76ers without Embiid. Twice, actually, they're about to play him. I don't know if he's going to be in the second game, but he's definitely not going to be in today's game. They just beat that same team without Embiid, so I don't think it's impossible for them to split those games. Outside of that, though, I haven't really been that impressed with any of the Bulls' wins. I would say that they're probably comparable to the Knicks without Mitchell Robinson. You know, the Heat, the Cavs, we're all kind of in that little second bubble underneath the top two. And, you know, Indiana Pacers, Orlando Magic. I think the Knicks better beat this team after the week they just had, though. Like, if they don't beat this team after the week they just had, and we're already talking about, like, well, I think you said they're going to win both of these games coming up. I'm trying to wait for the Knicks game that you predict they're going to lose. But I think that they better beat the Bulls after the week they just had,
because this stretch has been pretty rough and they need wins where they can find them.
Yeah, I don't see the Bulls being a team that we're going to lose to. But then again, I never saw the Magic being a team that we were going to lose to. So being completely unbiased.
Or the Jazz.
Well, the Jazz, I like a lot of the Jazz players, but the homer in me just made me pick the Knicks.
But the Jazz are not good.
The Jazz got Walker Kessler. I love Walker Kessler. But moving forward, the Bulls are not the team that I'm ever going to fear. They don't have anybody that I'm really afraid of. DeRozan, I respect. He's a Hall of Famer player. He's a Hall of Fame player. But the Knicks, if they lose to the Bulls, that's embarrassing, to be honest with you.
And it's gonna
with no Mitch.
That's going to change anything for you as far as your outlooks on the season?
No, because any team could be beat, but still, it's still embarrassing. Like, if you lose to the Detroit Pistons, that shouldn't really change your outlook on the season, but you don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. If you lose to the Pistons, you got to just pretend that never happened and just move on to the next game. But the Bulls aren't that far removed from the Detroit Pistons to me.
The Pistons have lost, what, 27, 28 straight games? If you lose to the Pistons, nobody's letting you forget that you lost to the Pistons.
Nah.
Whoever breaks this Pistons losing streak, they're going to get laughed at for quite some time.
I don't think so. Especially if they were to beat the Celtics. They was up 20 at halftime. And I'm watching all these games because they just remind me of the Knicks when we was losing all these games. We ain't never been on a losing streak like this, but I'm like, damn, it feels good to be a Knicks fan today. If we would have been losing 26, 27 games in a row, setting the NBA record, that's embarrassing. But still, every team in the NBA, once they play the Pistons, they're going to have to show up because the Pistons, they all these games are competitive losses. But I don't want to talk about the Pistons too long. I'm just talking about the Bulls. The Bulls suck, and we should not lose to them at all. So I'm picking the Knicks in this game, and it shouldn't even really be close, to be honest with you, because the Bulls' record right now is 14-19, right?
Yep. Currently 10th in the East.
And they are playing better without Zach LaVine. Kobe White has been playing a lot better. I'll give him credit where credit is due. But outside of them two players, DeRozan and Kobe White, who do you know? Who else is even a threat? I don't really view Patrick Williams as a threat. They said he was mini Kawhi Leonard. I'm still waiting for that to come to fruition. And
Alex Caruso's
a defender. He's not going to really be a scoring threat.
Man, listen.
He's probably going to guard Julius Randle, but without Lonzo, Lonzo was the piece of this team that would have made them competitive.
Alex Caruso is a really good player who would fit on any team. And if the Bulls put him on the trading block, every championship team was going to come calling for him.
For sure.
So
just like Jrue Holiday.
Yes.
But you ain't going to win a championship because of Jrue Holiday. You ain't going to be a competitive team with Jrue Holiday as one of your best player.
I'm just listing good players, and Alex Caruso can go off. And I'm not saying that the Knicks should be absolutely fearful of him. I'm just saying that he's a good player, and you have to watch out for him.
They back a big name. The big man who's supposed to be the backup, his name is Adama Sanogo. You ever heard him before?
Listen, this is not a Bulls podcast. Me and you both agree that the Knicks should beat the Bulls.
Yeah.
But the Knicks, without Mitchell Robinson and Quentin Grimes on the bench, are not the same team that they were to start the season. So, if the Bulls are currently playing well, the fact that the Bulls have sucked to start the season, I just think we just need to throw that out because the Bulls team that's playing right now can beat the Knicks, especially the Knicks that played last night. All right, so
that was probably the worst Knicks game, one of the worst Knicks games all year. So I don't expect to see them again. Yeah, Pelicans was bad too. So, but moving on, Friday, January 5th, the Knicks are going to be facing off against the Philadelphia 76ers. With our luck, this is probably going to be Embiid's first game back. He's been out since the 22nd with an ankle injury. There's no real timeline on his return, but, everybody comes back against the Knicks, especially the superstars.
They circle that date. So I'm going to be healthy for that game.
Yeah, I see the Knicks losing this game if Embiid's playing. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, something tells me that, he's going to return and overmatches a very small Knicks lineup. Over the past couple of years, although Embiid's season this year is different, Joel Embiid this year, Joel Embiid last year, different player. That's a guy who you can win with if he's healthy.
Yeah, and he gets everyone in foul trouble.
I mean, he does flop a lot. But Mitch has been our best, usually been our best defender for Embiid. He ain't playing. I don't have faith in Hartenstein to contain him.
What about Taj Gibson? Taj Gibson was Giannis.
If Jericho Sims is back, they're not going to play Jericho Sims, Taj Gibson, Jericho Sims, Taj Gibson, and Hartenstein. So
how much you want to bet?
They're going to play all
Sims,
three?
Yes, Jericho Sims is going to foul out in 5 minutes. Watch. Bet me. You know, Embiid, he's going to get everybody in foul trouble.
For those listening on the podcast, me and French just did a pinky bet. So,
what's the bet? All right.
What you betting? What you putting up? Your PS5?
I ain't going to bet. I'm betting that Jericho Sims, Taj Gibson, and I Hart are going to get minutes if Embiid's playing against the Sixers. And if I win this bet, you owe me tickets to another Knicks game this year.
Oh, that's fine. it's going to be the same
thing.
And
if I lose this bet, I don't owe you nothing. I'm the little brother.
That's not a bet.
I get away with that.
That's not a bet. All right, so you guys just heard French flim-flam his way out of a bet that he probably doesn't have that much faith in.
What do you want if I lose the bet?
It would be the same thing. Knicks tickets, bro.
All right, bet.
All right, cool. That's equal value. All right, so I think that's all we got for today.
If you want to participate in a bet, place a comment. Who you think is going to get the minutes? Taj? Think you're going to get some minutes against the Sixers? First comment that we see on that side, you might have to be included in the bet, and we'll just give you some free Knicks take merch or something like this.
Yeah, definitely. We need you guys to write some stuff, send us some comments, share. We need to see these numbers going up. You know, if we see these numbers going up, we can provide more for you guys. Like French said, we might even get some free merchandise for the Knicks Take podcast. So we'll give you guys more details on that. Let's start getting these numbers up. Let's get these comments up. Let's get these shares up. And as always, hit that notification bell so that you guys know when we have a new episode coming out. And that's all I got, French.
We'd like to bid you adieu. Thank you for listening to
the Knicks Take podcast. Peace out, y'all. Appreciate it.